4. Kazimar Prison, City of Manchir, and Crag House, City of Velena, Earldom of Craggy Hill. Father Adrian Wyman stood gazing out the barred window at the gallows in the prison courtyard. Those gallows had been busy over the last few 5 days, and he'd been able to recognize the faces of at least a quarter of the condemned men as they were marched up the steep wooden stairs to the waiting nooses. "I suppose I should be flattered they've let me wait till last," he thought. "The bastards." His face tightened and his nostrils flared as he ran his hand over the plain, scratchy prison tunic which had replaced his silken cassock. They'd graciously allowed him to retain his scepter, and his fingers sought the familiar, comforting weight hanging around his neck. But that was as far as they were prepared to go. He held the scepter tight, leaning his forehead against the bars, and remembered fury, and, little though he cared to admit it, terror, flowed through him. He still had no idea who had betrayed him. Someone had to have. Worse, it had to have been someone from within his own order, and that was bitter as gall on his tongue. Yet, as much as it sickened him to confront the truth, that was the only way they could have known where to find him at St. Justin's. Only the Order of Schuler had known about the concealed rooms, the secret entrance at the far end of the carefully hidden tunnel. And it had to have been someone close to him, someone he'd trusted, because that eternally damned traitor, Garvai, had known exactly who to scoop up. In that single disastrous night, he and the other traitors on the Regency Council had completely decapitated, no, completely destroyed, the resistance organization Wyman had so carefully and laboriously constructed. It turned his stomach. Literally, he could feel the nausea churning in his belly even now. To know that native-born Coruscandians, men who claimed to love God, had knowingly and deliberately shattered the only organized resistance in Manchir to the filth and poison and lies of the accursed, apostate heretics who served the Church of Caris. He choked the nausea down and forced himself to inhale deeply, opening his eyes and staring at the gallows once again. Tomorrow, it would be his turn to mount those stairs. He felt fear flutter at the base of his throat at that thought, but once again, anger dominated fear. He was willing to die for God, and he made no apologies for defending God's true will, his plan for all men, against the impious lies and perversions of others. But he was an ordained, consecrated priest. He was no common felon, no casual criminal, to be hanged by the unconsecrated hands of secular authority, even if he'd acknowledged for one heartbeat the legitimacy of that authority. The writ itself made that blindingly clear. Only Mother Church held authority over her clergy. Only she could decree their punishment, and only she could carry it out. "But they've got an answer for that too, don't they?" His lips drew back in a snarl, and his grip on his pectoral scepter went white-knuckled. "The civil authorities can't hang a priest? Very well, strip him of his priesthood." And that was precisely what they'd done. The excommunicate traitors had dared, to defrock a priest made by the Grand Vicar's hands in the temple itself. They'd set their Shan Wei accursed pride and arrogance above all else, above the archangels and even God himself, and told him he was no longer God's priest. That they, had judged him a criminal, not simply against the secular puppets of Caris, but against the law of God. They had declared that the execution of the traitor Hoskins had been not the Inquisition's justice, but simple murder. And that even greater traitor, Gerling, Archbishop Claremont, had actually stood in judgment and declared that he, Wyman, as the one who had ordered that execution, had violated the sanctity of the priesthood by his actions. Gerling, the forsworn, excommunicated apostate, had passed judgment on the legitimate intendant of Coruscant, and, in profane and heretical violation of every ecclesiastic law, expelled Wyman from the priesthood of the church for the torture and murder of a fellow priest, brother, and innocent child of God. Wyman had been unable to believe anyone could have the sheer effrontery, the insolence before God, to claim authority to do any such thing. Yet the archbishop had done precisely that, and the secular authorities had accepted his judgment. Indeed, they had applauded it. He realized his teeth were grinding once again and made himself stop. It wasn't easy. He'd gotten into the habit over the 5 days of his imprisonment, and he smiled bleakly, without humor, as he reflected that at least he wouldn't have to worry about that particular problem very much longer. He pushed away from the window and paced slowly back and forth across his cell. It was better than some cells, he supposed, but once again, it was the cell of a common criminal. 10 feet on a side, with a narrow cot, one table, a chair, a pitcher of water, a wash basin, a battered cup, and a chamber pot. That was all, aside from the copy of the Holy Writ they'd oh so graciously permitted him. The austerity had been yet one more calculated insult, a way to underscore their contempt for the man who was Mother Church's chosen champion.